tough opponent in Fresno, but great to get him at home on our home floor. Actually, just feel like it could be a positioning game as well, with them sitting at 6-5, I think, in conference, and we're at 5-6. But you know, feeling good about our guys, feeling like we've got back to playing Cowboys basketball in a sense of our aggression, being assertive, especially on the offensive end of the floor, but also a focus on the defensive end. So just looking for carryover tomorrow against Fresno at home.
You mentioned position games, you know, when Nevada came in and when Boise came in, they're kind of similar. I know so far, you know, at least where the standings are now, you haven't been able to get one of those teams above you. So obviously every conference game is important, but just how big is it to try to get this one to, like, not just positioning, but to be one of those teams above you in the standings?
I mean, you know, at the end of the day, I look at it more as an opportunity to position ourselves rather than convincing our guys about who's in front, who's behind. Because as crazy as this league is, right now, you know, two wins and you're in the top, two wins and you're in the bottom. And even the guys at the bottom, you know, right now, they're looking at it and saying, we still have a chance. You know, it's not like anyone right now is in conference sitting at 1-9 or something like that and saying, you know what, the season is over. Everybody is still in play right now. So it's gotten to a point where you never want to say that, you know, every game matters, but it's gotten to that point right now with every game within this conference matters, because you could go up or you can drop. So, but, you know, again, our guys, you know, I haven't harped on it, but I've been more about the process and just continuing to play our brand of basketball. So.
Looking at Fresno, I think they won at Nevada and then, you know, fell to San Jose State. Is it sometimes tough to tell what you're going to get with them, or is that just sort of representative of this conference?
Well, you know what? I think there are teams in the conference that you just match up better against. And I think Nevada and Fresno is a good matchup because of they're both similar teams. And, you know, they got them twice, you know, and outside of Utah State beating Nevada, they've pretty much, you know, done a good job against everybody else. But I would say that when you look at it, it's more about matchups, and then the other factor is injuries. You know, you watch New Mexico State lose to San Jose, and you say, how did that happen? You know, give credit to Coach Woldrick, but, you know, New Mexico is without Tim Williams and the other kid. So they're a little, you know, undermanned. But, and not to say that if they would have had Tim, they couldn't have lost, but that's just been the crazy part about this conference. It really comes down to matchup and how you match up against each opponent.
Keith, you got a question on the phone?
Yeah, Coach, you mentioned, you know, getting back to playing Cowboy basketball. Why do you think it was, you know, after, you know, maybe 2.5 games, couple games there where it didn't really happen that way? Why do you feel like it happened? It just came back in that Air Force game. Was there something to it?
Well, I thought, you know, it happened by accident, to be honest with you, but I thought we took a step back, in a sense, to take a step forward, because our focus was getting better on the defensive end of the floor. And I know sometimes stats may say you're a solid defensive team, but when you look at film, you're saying, you know, nah, we're getting lucky, or we're, you know, not making key stops or key possessions or key rebounds, to where the focus was on let's get better on the defensive end of the floor. And then I think our guys got a little passive on offense. And what I mean by passive, it became more of offense to shoot the basketball versus hunting shots. Not only the three ball, but just hunting the opportunity, not only for yourself, but for a teammate. And as we got prepared for Air Force and just watching the games, the two or three games before that, it just didn't seem like the same ball club or the offensive end of the floor. And getting ready for the Air Force game, we didn't really do edits. We just watched segments of the game so our guys can see the flow and how the ball was moving, how assertive, how aggressive we were cutting, moving, and looking for each other.
Coach, this is David. I was just curious as to how do you translate that now to this new game, considering sometimes Fresno State with their athletes and their defense, they kind of like to grind it out at times.
Well, I think Fresno is a team that's very aggressive on the defensive end of the floor. And to me, the way we played against Air Force goes well against that. You know, our guys just have to be able to handle the pressure while trying to move the basketball and still continue to attack. I think they're a team that hangs their hat on their energy and how hard they're played and athleticism. Sometimes their defense may lack from being solid in the sense of fundamentals, but, you know, they want to kind of make you make plays, and I'm okay with our guys making plays.
Saw them the first time, you know, they, you know, talked about ball security a little bit. Is that one of the biggest things? I know that you didn't shoot it well, but it goes back to defense.
Yeah.
How do you match up? And I guess the follow-up is, I think Deshaun Taylor's now in the starting lineup for them. It wasn't when you played him the first time. It sounds like he's making a big difference. And how much of a difference is he making in the lineup now?
Well, you know, again, I mean, even with them, you know, a lot has changed in the sense of personnel, minutes up and down, kids not playing, but their culture is still the same. And I think the kid Taylor, actually, I think he's a spark plug. You know, I think he's a rally the troop guy. You know, he's a guy that when it's up, he keeps them up. When you're down, he finds a way to try to get them back. And because of that, you know, he's done a much better job scoring it for them and getting to the foul line with how he plays. But, you know, just watching our game against them last time, I thought we did not handle their aggressiveness early in the game. And I thought we really didn't execute our defensive game plan, or it wasn't as crisp as we would have liked it. But, you know, as you watch all the way through it, you know, 3 minutes left, you know, it's a three-point game, you know. So, and then I think they made a play or two and pushed it to seven, then we got into a fouling game. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the second time around is all about adjustments, you know. So they're playing a few different guys. Even the kid Bittner is starting. I don't know what's going on with Russo. And the kid 11 is starting. I like him. He's going to be a really good player in this league. But, you know, it'd be all about adjustments and how we approach it.
You know, we talked before about, you know, Justin and Hayden scoring a lot, but coming off the bench and a lot of that is rotation and stuff, but also you mentioned that those are two guys who had some issues with turnovers and that kind of holds them back. It seemed like last game Justin had one of his best games in terms of kind of playing under control and distributing. Have you seen kind of growth in that area from him?
Well, we've been hacking on it. even in practice. But the thing with Justin is, you know, I just think he'll continue to just get better. And, you know, I've always said that to him that, you know, sometimes he just tries to rely on talent. And I think that's when he gets in trouble because, you know, sometimes it may not be the ultimate respect for the guy that's guarding him. And my thing is always, it's not about that guy. It's for the guys out there that's behind him. You got to be able to see that too and then be able to make the play. But, you know, he's a guy that, yes, we need to score for us. And at the same time, it's kind of a catch-22 because you want him to be a guy that make plays. And at the same time, you got to understand that sometimes turnovers may happen because of that. But my thing has always been with him and Hayden is I just think they're careless. They're not forced. You're basically throwing it to him. Now, if you are making a play, and the defense caused it, then I'm okay. But you're just throwing it to them, and they're going down the other way with a live ball turnover and scoring. I think that hurts at the end of the day. But I think, you know, what he's done in the last few games just shows, you know, the type of player he is, what he's capable of doing. And at the end of the day, you know, talent-wise, you know, I think he's one of the better guys in his league.
How would you kind of attribute how Al's done this year? He's one of your rim protectors that are in the league and block shots, and you know. But how has that gone? You know, I know he's been scoring it pretty well too. How has that balance gone? And I know a lot of times with shot blockers, you get so carried away with blocking shots, you get kind of out of position rebounding and stuff. Just how would you kind of assess how he's, you know, handled that role as rim protector and how he's balanced a lot of those different types of things that goes into that?
Well, I would say this. I mean, when you watch Al, and like we were talking the other day as a staff, and to be honest with you, if you watch, you wouldn't really know that he's top three in the league in block shots. You just wouldn't know just because he just has that demeanor about him that, like I called the other day, it's like the Tim Duncan, man. You don't no emotion. You know, he's just plays basketball. And, you know, a lot of people ask, well, why does he play so many minutes? And I tell guys, the things that he does don't always show up on a stat sheet. Even when he doesn't score the basketball, if you go back and watch film, he does a lot of things that warrants him to be out on the floor. And when he scores, it looks a whole lot better than when he's not. But my thing has always been assertion with him, just being assertive because of his potential. Sometimes he has to convince himself, you know, that he's talented enough. But at the end of the day, from us talking as a staff, outside of him being assertive on offense, he gives us what we need. And when you really think about his size, in the sense of not being a very physical guy, but I think he has a high basketball IQ. And, you know, you talk about block shots. And I tell guys all the time, block shots, probably did three a game, but he's affecting probably another two. And then just being in the right place affects another two. And when you really think about that at the end of the day, and you're talking about percentages and them scoring, if you take out, whatever, eight opportunities in a game from them scoring just because of block shots, affecting shots, and being in the right position, that helps us out, you know, at the end of the day. So, again, I think he's a guy that just, you know, needs to be on the floor. I just get pissed at him because sometimes he's too casual and he gets comfortable with just, I'm gonna just be a good defensive guy. But we need him to be assertive on offense for us to be effective.
With Hayden, I know he's still kind of fighting the ankle a little bit. How's that been coming along? And it seemed like last game he struggled a little bit in terms of
He's, I mean, he's playing on it, you know. He's still a guy that, to me, needs to be out on the floor because of his ability to score, you know, whether he shoot, dribble it, you know. I get pissed about the turnovers, but, I mean, he's a kid that has some fight through within him. And even right now, you know, I mean, practice yesterday, probably not going to do much with him today just to kind of, you know, nurture it. But, you know, if he can go, he's going to go, you know. I just got to be careful with how long I keep him out there in stints. Because, again, I just like when him and Al are out there at the same time. But I just got to be careful with my short-term thought process versus my long-term thought process with him. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think he'll be fine. He should be okay to play.
You guys got any more questions on the phone?
Good to go.
Okay. Yeah.
The health of everyone else at this point going into tomorrow.
Gorski, he did not practice yesterday. Swollen, was in the boot, just did ball handling stuff. Probably won't do much today either. Probably would test him out game day because we usually get a workout on game day. But right now, I would say less of him not playing versus him playing Wednesday. And then everybody else, you know, nips and bruises, you know, Hayden's, you know, fighting through. Leaves here. I mean, it's just that grind of the year, you know, where everybody's, you know, a little banged up but still playing.
Do you need him to play a little bit like Justin sometimes?
Actually, yes. I would love for him to play like Justin. I would love for Justin to play like him on defense. But you know, and my thing has always been to him was, you know, I don't care if you make it or miss it. I just want you to be assertive. Because at the end of the day, when you're assertive, it's better for the team. Whether it's pushing it in transition, posting up hard, looking for his shot, you know, driving the basketball against a big, it's just my thing has always been him. With him has always been when he makes his first shot, he's a different player. When he misses his first shot, you know, he thinks too much, you know. So it's kind of crazy because I sit up there and tell him all the time, I don't care. You know, I just want you to be assertive. But he's taking that on a little bit more on the defensive end because I've talked a lot about defense as well. And I think him and Jeremy Lieberman have really, really keen in, you know, on that end of the floor. So, but, you know, sometimes you get pissed because you sit there and say, man, you're so talented. But at the end of the day, I tell our guys, you know, to me, everything's a process, man. You can't rush it. You know, you got to let him, you know, come into it. We can only foster it. And the only way we do that is by continuing to encourage him. And then the only other thing is, you know, when I jump his tail, but my thing is, you know, it's kind of hard to do it 30 games out of the year, man. You know, you got to do it sometimes by yourself. So, but it's down to the stretch where, you know, seven at home. So if I got to do it seven more times, then, you know, that's what it's got to be.
You know, what's been your assessment of Naughton so far? I know you like to run, not that, you know, he's not going to, you know, probably win races or anything, but, you know, he gets good looks. I think he's in about two thirds of his shots. He gets them down low. So, you know, what's kind of been your general assessment there from him?
Actually, he's kind of in that same ballpark with Al. When he demands it, he's a much different basketball player than when he's just out there. And that's been my thing, you know, with Doc, you know, just because he's somewhat of a quiet kid as well. And conversely, but he's not a kid that you can kind of jump him, you know, because he could get deflated, you know, if you jump him. But, you know, my thing has always been with him, if you really think back to all the start of our games, our first action, and I really don't care if the opponents know, like, we're going to not, you know.
Yeah.
So to kind of get him going, because I think he could be a really, really good player in this league, but I think it comes more back to him just having that demand-type mentality, whether it was duck-ins, finishing around the rim, protecting the rim on defense. And then I think the other key fact for him at the end of the day is just learning how to run, just getting up and down the floor. And it's not even in the sense of trying to outrun a guy to get a layup. It's just about getting up and down. And it's not like he can't do it. It's just it's a process. You know, that's something he has to work on for him to get better. But, you know, when he demands the basketball, you know, there are times where we'll go to him in the game, and I constantly tell our guys, if he is open, throw him the basketball. But that's only if he's open. Like, if he's not demanding, don't throw him the ball. To kind of get that mentality out of him, that I want you to want the basketball. I don't want guys to throw you the basketball just because you're inside, but you have to want it. And when he does, I think he does a good job. And when he's passive, like I thought he was in this game, watching it, I thought he was passive.
In the Air Force game or in the first Fresno?
In the first Fresno game, I thought he was passive. But, you know, for him to take that step, you know, and sometimes, to be honest with you, it takes maturity. You know, I think he has to continue to mature, and that's a part of what he needs to do to take his game to the next level, and in turn, will help us overall.